All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I bought a dog who failed out of canine training.
Oh, these are like very good boys. I relate to them not only because of, you know, they're good and they have a job and everything, but I like that they failed out.
Yeah.
They usually fail out because they're too sweet.
Not ruthless enough. Yeah. We had a canine officer in my family. So I've got to spend a lot of time around these good boys. They were active though. They were active canines, but they were still
underachievers. I'm proud of it.
Right. they didn't have that bumper sticker. Yeah. No. So
they didn't eat your shorts.
They did eat my shorts quite a bit. No. But I use that connection. I've got one of these good boys here. It's like a little, he's a little yellow lab. Look at him. Gary, scratch his belly.
I will. Here we go.
Okay. Put your back into it. Come on.
Look at him. He's not biting my neck out.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. This is great.
So
he doesn't smell the pure Colombian I have in my pocket.
Well, what I've done, I've got a shitload of tennis balls here. I have put a video game inside, the names of video games inside of them, cut a little slit, put it in there. And one of these has marijuana smell on it. Okay.
Oh,
that's how they train it. Although, wait a minute. I did. Okay. So on my way here, I did give my friend Calvin a ride to the airport. Calvin Brodus.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not the Calvin that pisses on the Chevy logo on the back of your car.
No. People know him as Snoop. Friends call him Calvin. Our unnamed boy here is going wild at these. So I'm just gonna send all these out, and whichever one he comes back with will be because all of these reek of the ganja. Is that what you call it? What's the name?
That's one of the names. I just thought about you having driving Snoop to the airport. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, he says something that I'm not going to try to, you know, just something very Snoop. I don't want to impersonate him. And then you say, "Thank you, Mr. Dog." like 10 and 2. Yeah. Just like driving. Just like, "Thank you, Mr. Dog."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's throw all these balls.
Yeah, he's going nuts. Look at him go.
He seems very happy.
Yeah, which is a visual medium because he is he's rolling around. Yeah.
Significantly happier not being a cop.
Ah, yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look at this.
Let me get
this. Snoop wasn't about to let you drive to the airport if you were fucking fuzz.
No, come on.
You know?
The fuzz. No, the fuzz, a dog being for. That's all. It's right there. I can almost make the connection.
Nope.
Nope.
Not quite good enough. Okay.
It's going to come back. I'm going to wrestle this one away from him. Down, boy. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's not obeying.
Nope.
He failed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's up on you. Right.
Yeah, nope.
He loves you, buddy.
Oh, look at him. He's looking at me.
Oh, look. He's rubbing your belly. Does that feel good?
Oh, I mean, we'll check out my leg, dude.
Why is your leg moving like that, dude? That's so weird.
He found the spot behind my ear, dude.
Oh, he's driving you to the vet? Dude, this is so weird. I've never seen anything like this. He failed so hard he became a genius.
I'm owner. I don't know if you can hear me around this cone, the game in the ball was dog's life.
This is a lot.
I'm happy it landed this is for a you lot.
Yeah, no, this is I didn't think it was fun. You know, it's like I think that I didn't have fun playing it, but I loved watching it after I did the I Get It and watching people play it and reading about it. And it is a lot. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, Mitt Romney. Welcome to the Resistance.
And this week on our super serious show, where we always talk about the game for the entire episode.
Sure. We should pivot. It's 500 episodes. We should pivot.
Yeah, we should pivot. No, yeah. this is a game that I brought to the table here. This is PS2 game called Dog's Life. Not a Dog's Life, just Dog's Life. We do
Based on a movie.
Nope.
Which will blow your mind.
Somebody named Jay did put this into the suggestion, the suggestion machine. So thank you, Jay. Is like, it's an open world dog simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda.
Simulator is a really strong word for this. Like, the you're like the dog equivalent of that foul mouthed teddy bear that hangs out with the guy who made Family Guy.
Yeah. Ted. His name is Ted.
Ted. Yeah. You're kind of like the dog equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a real provocateur.
Instigator.
A real gassy, gassy, shitty provocateur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is mostly about pissing, shitting, and farting down to the core gameplay mechanics and the narrative. Like, this is primarily about smells that come out of dogs.
We'll talk about the ending. When we get to that section of the show,
it's a real story.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we'll talk about the end when we get there. But like the establishing moment for your main character here, I believe he's some kind of like foxhound named Jake. Like the establishing moment is he farts so rancid that he kills a butterfly.
The very first thing in this game is him being like, I'm a dog, it's pretty great.
Yep.
Yeah, I get to do this. And then he senses a butterfly creeping up on his anus.
Yep.
To do what? To plant a caterpillar? Who knows? And he decides to let out an incredibly rank and loud fart.
Yes.
And then the butterfly drops dead. And he looks at the camera like, I know what you like. You know? I do the thing you want.
There are some.
Say the line, Bart. Like, he's so happy about it. And then he, you know, he won't take no for an answer. There's a girl who doesn't like him, but he doesn't like that. And they go and they get dog caught, because this is presupposed that kind of world where dogs are in an eternal war versus dog catchers. Like, I hate Gary catchers.
Yeah, Gary, he's your bail bondsman, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, fuck him.
Yeah, you skipped out on your trial, dude. Yeah. I keep on trying to tell you, you have to report for those things or else they're going to hunt you and put you in a human carrier.
I'm not going to be caught by a gigantic butterfly net. by two ninnies.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
The ninnies in this, I love the ninnies. It's a real of mice and men kind of juxtaposition. You have a big guy who looks like Sylvester Stallone, and he's got the dumb boy. We got the dumb guy voice, and you have a real nebbishy guy who just looks like LBJ. They just modeled him after LBJ.
He does look a lot like LBJ.
And you're like, I hate the country. It's full of bugs.
He looks like Nedry from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. You know?
What? what was that? Yeah. Every human actor in this, I feel like the director was like, you're at about a 9. I need you at about a 15.
Uh-huh.
You know, for everything, like, everybody is really outsized in a way that I can't handle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially the villain, Miss Peaches. Miss Peaches. She is modeled like she is modeled after. I think she has to be modeled after Christine Baranski.
Sure.
Actress from The Grinch, from Addams Family Values, plays some snooty ladies in a lot of comedies, right? But she runs a cat food company, and she is arranged for the kidnapping of these dogs, a dog napping, if you will, to turn them into cat food.
Yes, to grind them into cat food.
Right.
Which, I mean, there's a lot of problems with that plan.
Right.
Even putting aside the morality, I don't think that's the cheapest way to make cat food.
No.
Like, you just scrape up what's behind a farm and, like, you make cat food.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You just put together the dust from a bunch of other animals, and that's cat food.
Meat dust. Like, you know, if there's dust around where an animal was, like, you add corn to that and it becomes low-grade cat food, which we're led to believe this is. You know, not when I feed my cat.
Right. No, of course not.
Yeah. So it's evil and it's not cost efficient and it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking wild because this game is like rated E for everyone. Like this is meant for real little kids.
Yeah.
But it's about grinding up best friends and turning into food for your other best friends. Flashback to the Donner Party episode we just recorded, but like, you know, drawing lots as to which of your pets gets turned into cat food.
Field dressing feeder to feed Paul.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's kind of like I could see why people, like, you know, this game has a good reputation. It is fun in structure. Like, right. you go around, like, you're in a house, you know, the whole world, you go and meet other dogs and learn how to do tricks, and then you get to inhabit those dogs and do their powers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly to collect bones, like, you love bones, which, again, is one of those things about dogs that, like, is not examined.
Right.
You know very well, but the idea that dogs just fucking love, like, a big, juicy human femur.
Uh-huh.
And it's like their treasure is, like, getting inside you and, like, getting that is very strange to me.
I am walking around on dog currency.
Yeah. Other than that, though, it's all like Spyro the Dragon or something. It's you do a lot of first person sniffing, collecting.
Yeah, yeah. You're hunting down and collecting smells is what you're doing in like detective vision, where you're running around like in first person. You know, like it quickly goes from being like, oh, I'm on a farm and I'm running around this area where things could be, and it's like, I'm going to follow these footsteps, and it takes you just out to a platforming level. There's like, just islands in a cave that you're jumping in between.
There's a little bit of everything in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as you get different amounts of smell, you trigger different mini games, including like a urine mini game. That's like, what is that? Like Othello or something.
Yeah.
Like where you have to claim different pieces of territory by pissing on corners of a tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make sure you poop at a certain intervals.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do that, you're something bad happens. I don't know. I wasn't
you explode.
Yeah. It's just, you have to go to the vet. You're an expensive vet visit. They take out part of your intestines. It costs $6,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's it until you get to the story part. You have to collect enough bones to bribe, a attack dog.
Okay.
I was reading. And then once you get enough bones to bribe the attack dog, you can enter the grizzly end game.
Which takes place in the factory. Like, he takes you to the factory.
Yes, the grizzly cat food factory, where your girlfriend is being kept, about to be turned into grizzly cat food. And the end of this, like, it's just incredible. Like, you have to watch it. Like, it's really something. Like, I know not everybody will, you know, so we should still describe it.
Yeah.
Because it's real wild. So you're talking to Granny Peaches or whatever, and she's really mad at you. She's like, okay, you know, I'm not done yet. Get in the cat food machine. You know, she's got a shotgun. She's about to blow your heads off and put you into a machine that grinds you up into cat food.
Right.
And instead you say, I've had cabbage and beans for dinner. And you turn around and you release a dark fart so powerful.
It's so vile. It has physical weight. Is what it does.
It's got physical anatomic weight. It knocks her into the cat food machine. So, you know, you're thinking that, you know, of course, like that's the comeuppance. Punishment fits the crime. She comes out as a cute giant can of cat food.
With her legs sticking out. Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, this was pretty fun.
Uh-huh.
And then that falls into a grinder. and the last shot of the game is just regular cat food that she's been processed into.
It's not just that it comes out of a grinder. Like, it has her rolling and you think, oh, yeah, she's in there. She's screaming, I'll chase you down to the ends of the earth, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then, like, the factory's, like, voice, like the AI that runs it says, like, defect detected. The belt reverses and draws her back into the grinder, and that's what turns her
from. Yeah, she ground up some more. while Jake is, like, sliced, diced, cut into pieces. Like, the dog with the hero farts is incredibly grisly about this shit.
Yep.
Just absolutely amazing stuff.
Just a real dark turn. It's like the back half of Hostel 2.
I mean, I suppose she could have got these dogs hooked on drugs before she turned them into cat food.
Yeah.
Just to up the cruelty. Like, preventing, you know, coming up with some kind of mega veal.
You know? This is psychological stunting as well.
Psychological veal.
I had a girlfriend who left me because she said I was psychological veal.
that treat box that I get.
Got that. Did you get the Ukraine one today? This month. Yeah.
Yeah, those veal chips are delicious, but I was just like, if you're just using a flavorant, why use veal?
Yeah, why?
just this has to be. Just, you're not really going to taste it. Yeah, but it has to be as cruel as possible.
Just call them beef broth chips. Like, no, just we have to add extra sorrow. You can taste it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It means something different in the Ukraine.
Does it?
I think. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, that's just a guess.
You're just trying to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, no, I was just guessing. Like, I was the one who brought up the premise of making fun of the veal chips, even though they were fucking delicious.
Yeah. Those creme brulee pastry things, those are really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good, this one's my favorite one that we've had so far.
Mm-hmm.
So go Ukraine.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to ordering all these snacks when I eventually visit Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah. keep the card because. I could not discern any of the packaging.
But yeah. Anyway, like this is, they're trying to make a veal of cat foods that has lots of suffering in it and hoisted upon their own petard. Cats in this scenario, in this world, have eaten the owner of the cat food company.
Which they're fine.
Which is contrasted with Pedigree, which are ethical and don't make their cat foods out of pets.
Okay.
You know, because they have so much product placement in this game.
Do they? I didn't say.
Did you notice that product? Everything's Pedigree.
I thought that was just an in-game thing. Didn't see that.
Tons of Pedigree.
I've got a minor amount of history with this game. Like, this was a real, I guess it wasn't late PSR, it was kind of like in the middle. But it really stuck out when we got it when I was working at GameStop. We had a PS2 demo unit up front, and we never had the game that the Sony rep wanted in it. We just put in whatever. And I just made sure that Dog's Life was always in there because it was fun to had to send the dog around and have him shit. Was what it was. Yeah. If you have to watch something all day, like
watching, might as well be shitting farts.
watching little kids be real happy because they made a dog shit and fart is probably one of the better ways to do it. So
yeah, not so bad.
Yeah.
I did not know about the existence of this, and I would have sworn this was based on like a failed cartoon or movie.
Based on the cover and all of the CGIs where everybody has the DreamWorks face, I would have expected that it was a failed DreamWorks project.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Like Over the Hedge, but like Over the Hedge wasn't about turning squirrels into food for chipmunks, you know?
No. I was surprised. This was made by the people who made the later Roller Coaster Tycoon games Elite Dangerous and then Planet Coaster and Planet Zoo.
That's really strange.
Like, they just have all of these Sims and then this.
Oh yeah, and Jurassic World Evolution. Have you played that? You fucked around with that?
Oh yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it was free on Epic at one point. Mm-hmm. That game is super cool. Did you know that this game has the Guinness World Book of Records for the game with the most voice performances by one actor? Because one guy does all of the voices in it.
It's especially obvious when you get to the musician, the guy sitting on the dock playing his guitar, who is literally just the voice of Jake, but he's doing like the "All right, Surfer Freedom Dude. Rock" kind of voice.
Yeah, Carrie Shale does the voices of everything in this.
I hope he was paid accordingly.
I really hope so. It's pretty, you know, and this is, I didn't recognize him, but he's in lots of video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, voices, and Thomas the Tank Engine and shit, but he voices every character in it. It's like something like 35 roles.
Well, if he got 35 checks, come on.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah.
They probably paid him in cat food made of other voice actors. just catching Nolan North with a big butterfly net.
just breaking the seal on the can, just going, Yuri Lowenthal.
I'm looking for cat food that tastes a little bit like Leonardo from the Turtles, but can't actually be any other voices. It's always just
him. Yeah.
Yeah. A Spam Clark. I was trying to think of a good pun, but
Spam Clark's good. Spam Clark.
Works. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Cam Clark's bar. I feel like there's more work to be done, but I don't know if I want to do it.
A joke kit. We can just call it a joke kit. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, that's really like all, in terms of what this game is, like this seems, it's relatively fun. And it's relatively creative and you have to be into the sense of humor. There is a wild mass guessing entry on this that is like a 3,000 word essay supposing that Jake is in a Truman Show scenario and that the world is created to cater to him. On TV Tropes. So we got that going.
Another thing is the radios. Other than the fact that Miss Peaches is always everyone's guest of honor, she's also every commercial and advertisement they play. Every single one.
Yeah.
This person.
The nightmare fuel.
Yeah. Just Milhouse. We're through the looking glass here, people.
High octane nightmare fuel that is the idea of a dog's life being a Truman Show situation.
Oh, man.
Man. TV Tropes. Oh, I didn't check the fridge section. Fridge horror. In this game, you control a dog trying to rescue his love interest. As it turns out, the villain, Miss Peaches, a cat food maker who loathes dogs, she makes dogs into cat food. Of course, italicized. She asks her minions to capture disguised as dog catchers. You've heard multiple people complain about their dogs missing and how they want to find them. Considering how late you've come, those dogs are probably long dead, .. And then the response... actually, no, they're not. Daisy specifically stated to be the first victim selected by Peaches for a trial run.
Oh, so, why are the machines all bloody?
Yeah. Prior to that, they were just catching, dogs, like other varmints, anything that would crawl into it,
It's just the standard issue blood machine.
When it beeps, like
from dusk.
Yeah.
Man.
There's also a lot of cut content on the cutting room floor.
Oh, yeah?
From this. Yeah. A lot of it is just weird coding things, like people putting in all your base are belong to us.
Of course. Little Easter egg like that.
Just in the code, because a little fun Easter egg. But there's like a cheat menu where you can select around. You can be any dog you want. Mm-hmm. There is a little very, very quaint developer message here, which is 10 print Arganoid rules 20 go to 10. Greetings to Chris, Dawn, Jordan, Ben, Jamie, Mail, Joanna, Emma, Tigger, Voldemort, Jeffrey from Rainbow, and Skeletor, and the rest of the human race and the rest of the animal kingdom. Like, it's very sweet.
Yeah. I
love developer messages. They're just the dorkiest fucking shit in the world, just, like that.
I'm going to say hi to my friends. I'm going to put that in there. And, they're never going to see
Voldemort
it.
In there. Yeah. Include a little Easter egg there for the fans of fiction.
For the fans of the most popular books there are. Yeah.
For fiction fans. Hey, fiction fans out here might enjoy this Voldemort shout out.
I think Voldemort might be might be a pet, actually.
Oh, possibly.
If I was guessing,
Yeah.
This is before you could put in, like the studio cats, into the credits of a game. Yeah.
Well, and also before like the idea of having like a pet and having it named after a property that's like widely and justifiably like super canceled. That would be a bummer.
Yeah. Be pretty bad.
Would
that be any different than all those people who named their baby girl Daenerys,
Yeah, probably, because real life people did really horrible things for Harry Potter. Whereas in Game of Thrones, it was just a dumb plot point.
Oh, I suppose.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, wait, there's a difference between real people and fiction
Bill
people?
Cosby. Yeah.
This is my son, Bill Cosby Jones.
Yeah, this is Bill Cosby Ross. And this is Bill Cosby Butterfield. These are problematic sons.
Yeah.
they were raising them to do stand-up sets. we're gonna raise them because we've been ghostwriting their book, Silenced, : The Triggered Chronicles.
Yeah. Unpublished, coming to you book next one, month from Doubleday. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Tiresome. Can I describe? I'm gonna do like a current events thing here. It's not related to like politics or anything. It's just something that I recently learned about, and I need to get it off my chest.
Do it.
Do you know what?
Put 60 seconds on the clock.
Do you know what NFTs are?
I only know it because everyone on the internet's complaining about it, and I picked it up through context clues.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but now I know what it is because my Twitter timeline is fucking nonstop.
Yeah.
Complaining about it.
I only just learned about it this morning, and I do think that it is really dumb because I was like, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And then somebody described it and was like, oh, this isn't meant to be understood. Because it's dumb crypto bullshit is what it is.
Yeah. It's rich people moving money from rich person to rich person.
Yeah.
And then prospectors like getting rich, but in a way that is gross.
Yeah. So just the idea being that like any image that I create online or an image that, you know, represents something or whatever, I can just run this through a little generator, use up more electricity than the nation of Argentina to like have it spit out a little code. And this is the unique code associated with this thing. And then I like that is worth cryptocurrency. And now rich people can launder money with it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, how can I turn a JPEG into Ethereum?
I had a very hard time understanding, like, this took me a long time to get from context clues to getting it. Mm-hmm. And it took me a minute to figure out whether people were mad because they thought it was stupid or people were mad because it was harmful. It was like one of those things. And I think that's one of those bummers about Twitter. Is it's like sometimes hard to tell the difference.
Yes.
You know, and how people talk about something. When I learned about it and just like crypto bullshit, you know, harmful crypto bullshit. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, crypto is bad.
But the language, especially on Twitter, is, you know, there's a lot of shared vocabulary between harmful and stupid. When you're broadly denouncing things. Yeah.
Hard to understand. Like when everyone's talking about something with the assumption everyone knows what it is.
Yeah.
This is just a quick aside to that. Mm-hmm. I've been watching late Simpsons, and there's a joke where Bart orders something off the dark web and a guy in a motorcycle delivers it and says, be sure to give me a, it's the delivery guy voice.
Raphael is the character's name.
Be sure to give me a good review on Dark Yelp. If I get below 3 stars, I love Dark Yelp. I'm so happy about Dark Yelp.
Dark Yelp is good.
It's like a really good joke for season 30 Simpsons.
You sent me a message. It was like 11 o'clock last night. I'm like laying in a bed playing Stardew Valley. I get a message. Season 30 Simpsons is good.
It sounds like kind of the insane ravings of a madman, but I've watched like 8 episodes of it so far, and like 5 of them have legit been pretty good.
Okay.
Really pretty funny.
Huh. What do you think changed?
I know that they got like a new writing staff with a bunch of younger writers, like Megan Amram, who is one of the Good Place writers, joined them at some point. That was when I first learned that like, oh, The Simpsons has some fresh blood in the writer's room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that the institution is so conservative that they're not going to like make it into a straight up, like traditionally good, you know, innovative show. Mm-hmm. But I think it's enough, you know, younger voices to add good jokes.
Yeah. To at least shade the output of the machine, but to put different, put different humans into the cat food machine to come out the other side.
To get different cat food.
Yeah. To get that out the back. Yeah.
What were you going to say before I interrupted you with Dark Yelp?
Oh, I was going to go on with more about NFTs. I was just going to say how dumb it was that like there were companies who were going around and assigning NFTs to people's tweets.
Yeah.
It was like, no, you can't buy and sell my tweet. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate.
Just dumb. Stupid and bad.
You know, at a certain point, once you have enough money, you just, you know, this is what you do for kicks. Like, if you're not, like, snorting the adrenochrome directly out of the spines of kids, like, you're doing weird money games like this.
Yeah. No. You know? Just further financialization is the word for that.
Crypto is one of those things, too, where it's like, I'm glad that I was the kind of nerd that I am now. Well, not, like, you know, if I was a different kind of nerd, I might be unspeakably rich
now. Yes. Yeah.
Due to that. But not being unspeakably rich, but not being that kind of gross dick, I kind of like.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a different me with a different kind of background and everything might have ended up into that kind of shit.
Especially early on, before it became purely an instrument for speculation, Bitcoin specifically, it seemed like there was no line between, like, oh, I'm just going to hold on to some of this in case it gets valuable someday. You know, like, there's that guy who paid 40 Bitcoins for a pizza that ended up being, like, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, there was very little difference between just, like, being a hobbyist and being an evangelist for it. And also, like, early on, it was, like, really tied up with, you know, like, objectivists, you know, like, just almost like just pure financial libertarian, like, this gets around the Fed and all regulations and whatnot, you know?
Yes.
Which made it fun, because everybody was like, no regulations and anything, and then they got hosed because, obviously, bad actors will look at
regulations.
Yeah, so they got stolen, and they said, who's gonna protect me? It's like, I mean, hey, dude, think about nobody. That. Nobody's coming to rescue you. Yeah.
Not a single.
Yeah.
You know,
when I worked at that video company, so many of the projects, especially toward the end, were just people who got a lot of venture capital, based on a pitch about, like, oh, we're going to use crypto. We're going to use the blockchain to revolutionize X or Y or whatever. And I was the fucking guy who, because I barely understood it, but I understood it better than other people there. I was the guy who was brought into every single one of those to help them write the script and concept it.
The future of money.
It was all the fucking same. It got so monotonous. And it was obviously so much of a scam.
It's a, I remember when it first came around, I think that Nick Glauber was the first person who taught me about it or told me about it. Because Nick is like into tech.
Yeah.
You know, so if something comes out and it's tech, like, he's interested in it just on that basis.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm not. That's how I had to get it from somewhere. And I don't think that he went deep on it. I haven't talked to him about it, but I wonder if he has any feelings, you know, because there's probably a time where he considered, like, you know, really putting some money into it and could be absolutely set right now.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, aside from, like, the energy,
it's environmentally a crime.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
not trying to minimize that.
No. I mean, but like aside from that, like the rush for Bitcoin mining equipment in particular is why it's really hard to get any high end electronics right now. Like, why people have to set up alerts and go in order to buy, like, a new graphics card or even, like, PS5s, because, like, all of these semiconductors are being bought up to be used for crypto mining as the machine gets bigger and bigger and bigger for no real gain. Gain, except
the thing
to
about
me.
Those things is that they're never going to crash. Like, right. If these trends continue,
disco sales are gonna be dynamite.
Literally no chance this could backfire.
Well, you can also do secondary products, like the link that I just sent you, which is strawberries that were dried on machine, you know, that were dried with heat created by machines making Bitcoins, mining Bitcoins. People started drying fruit on their Bitcoin rigs and selling them, of course, for Bitcoins. It's hilarious. This article from 2011 says that you could buy them for 1.5 Bitcoin a bag. That bag of strawberries right now is like $15,000.
Yeah. That's wild.
What is the current value? Holy shit. No, more than that. One Bitcoin is $57,558.
Yeah.
That is a 75. That is a a mid-range Tesla in that bag of strawberries.
Yeah. As a strawberry, because it was dried by special heat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're at this stage of oldness yet, but where you think like something new comes out and you're like, oh, this is great because I just don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and like for me, it's just something as simple as like Blu-rays, basically. Like I'll still watch something in high def, but I'll just watch it.
Just stream it.
You know, yeah, I'll just stream it. So like the physical media that is high def, I just don't need to be concerned with it.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like one of those things. Like I'm just never going to mess with this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all right.
Yeah, no, I'll be fine.
It's before, after my time. Like I'm going to be an old man who's paying for things using debit in the future, and that's okay.
Yeah. I have that with like, a lot of it's like cultural things, you know, like, oh, I can, there's no sense in me like getting on TikTok because the best TikTok videos are going to filter over to my place to where I'm at anyway. So that's fine, you know? But like with Bitcoin, mm-hmm. it's like I resolved myself because I'm more conservative with my money and just like just index funds for me, please.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I just like, oh, I'm not going to engage with this. I will just be a victim of this when it crashes and brings the all of society down around.
Yeah, everybody. With it. Yeah, I'm just going to ride the coaster. I'm not going to drive the coaster right now.
Right. No, I'm not going to. You know. I'm not going to buy the dip. I will be one of the people crushed by the dip.
Yeah.
As it lands on my head.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying basically is I'm a sucker.
Right.
Pigeon. And if you want to scam me, you know, you cannot because I won't buy your stuff, yeah. But I will be a victim, mm-hmm. you know, in a general sense.
I've got some, I've got a Grant's tomb to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's burying Grant's tomb? Could be you, my friend.
Prime real estate.
Thank you, Cole, for suggesting this wild ass game.
Yeah.
Where a key fart turns a woman and human person into cat food. If people like this show,
mm-hmm.
What should they do?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support this show and the whole network. At $5, you get 2 extra episodes of the show per month. Up at $10, you get access to all of them, all of the premium episodes, the whole ass fire hose, which I think is a good value. There's good stuff in there.
Yeah. It's better than whole ass fire hose. Sounds.
But better than that sentence that I said.
Yeah, ass fire hose doesn't sound great, but no. You just have to, you know,
it's power through it.
Not use your imagination. You can also leave us ratings, reviews. You can tell your friends about it. Things like that. That is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, until next time, what can they do?
Until next time, they can pull the window over here. Until next time, as our friend at PPoposoft always says, Bush did 9/11.
This is a surprisingly political intro and outro.